There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk Radio 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
FM News Talk time, it's 11:06, 6 minutes after 11 o'clock, and currently we're in for a hot stretch here. Let's see if we hit 80 yet. I know I'm as excited as you are on this. Hold on a sec here. 79 degrees, okay. FYI, we're in the 90s this week for a high. You just heard the weather forecast, but we might hit our first triple digit of the year. It looks like maybe Tuesday. I don't know. Anyway, so I was talking about electric buses. That's how low I've gone here. Because I just found out that we have electric school buses. And, you know, and they received a grant from NV Energy. That's a direct quote carried verbatim by every station in town. Because we are obedient to our political masters. Where's that grant money coming from? Oh, well, when you notice that your electricity is more expensive than many other states, you know, that's the money. When you get a simple power bill that's demanding hundreds of dollars, that's the money. My dream, my fantasy, my delusion has long been that my state of Nevada and my power company would care about all of us. Carson City has electric school buses. Four, I think, all to, quote, achieve green energy and sustainability initiatives. It's actually because during the Biden years and even now, our enlightened masters in D.C. have said they got to be electric. They say they have to have zero emission school buses. If you're at a certain age, you will remember a wonderful family that came into our homes on a regular basis via the little black and white TV. Their names were Fred and Wilma, the Flintstones. And people think that there was wonderful social commentary that was in that television program, you know, insights into the life of dinosaurs. But I look at it and I go, holy cats, Fred Flintstone had a zero emission car. Fred Flintstone's car wasn't putting anything in the environment, okay? And now they've got these mandates for electric, you know, whatever else like that. Maybe also leave yourselves open to the Fred Flintstone car. Seriously, politicians, our local school board people and some others say this electric bus thing, that children on buses with diesel or gasoline engines, they're, quote, breathing in fossil fuels, and that causes asthma. So this new insight from our sainted masters, the Democrats, say we have to get rid of diesel school buses because children in those buses are facing a public health crisis because they breathe fossil fuel fumes. And you want to say, have any of you known anyone who's ever ridden in a fossil fueled powered school bus? Well, I present myself as a victim. I spent a lot of years in school buses, all of them powered by fossil fuels. And over the years, hundreds of millions of American school students, and it's not just school students, it's people of all ages. While we have in this country for just about 100, maybe 110 years, been traveling around in vehicles with fossil fueled powered engines on a constant basis, they want to scare you with the boogeyman, so we have to go to electric buses because fossil fuel powered buses are poisoning kids who ride in them, which, what can I say, it's just not true. All right, change topic.
Thank you.
A worrisome headline: Nevada short on healthcare jobs and residency spots. This just came out, and it reads, the Lindsay Institute at UNLV reports that Nevada is still missing about 30% of the healthcare jobs it should have. And this is a quote. A lack of residency spots is pushing many newly trained doctors out of the state. The consequence is a lot of doctors graduating from UNLV, they leave the state And they're essentially educating doctors for other states, not for Nevada. Leaders at the symposium described the effort as long-term, requiring years of investment. They said strengthening the healthcare workforce is critical as Nevada continues to grow. The staffing issue drew attention at the state legislature last year when nurses told lawmakers they were sometimes caring for up to 10 patients at once, and they pushed for mandatory staffing ratios. Hospitals warned there were not enough providers to meet those rules. Since then, lawmakers passed Nevada Senate Bill 5 to grow Nevada's physician, nursing, and behavioral health workforces. Well, locally, that's from the article. Locally, we've had a recent scale down at St. Mary's Hospital. You know, fewer people, a department or two shut down there. Nevada is short of doctors. It's not just Nevada. My wife is a retired doctor, and you wouldn't believe the mail and the calls from, well, mostly Florida. They are so desperate for more doctors that they somehow got a list of retired doctors. They are pitching them to come, and, oh, we'll pay for your housing. You don't have to pay rent. We're going to provide you with a vehicle. Some of these offers for her to come out of retirement and go to Florida. Let me think about that. No, I'm kidding. But no, we're not the only state with this terrible shortage of doctors. It should worry you, you know. We train in this country a great many doctors. The unfortunate reality is that a very large percentage are foreign nationals. And you know they will often stay in our country. And you say, well, that's good. That'll help us. Except they typically pursue, this is what Kathy told me, that yes, we're getting these people, foreign nationals, they're educated. They make great doctors. But they typically pursue specialties. That's where the money is. The higher paying specialties. And a lot of medical students will do that too. Nobody wants to be a family doctor, just general provider. It's the big thing is the big money being a specialist. And we end up with a shortage of general practitioners and family practitioners. Regular old doctors. Regular old, miraculous, loving, essential, beloved by families doctors. We all see, just this week, you see on the news, all the graduation ceremonies coming up this year. And it doesn't seem like we're running out of smart kids. It seems like every class is going to have a handful of kids who seem pretty smart, could probably take on anything they tried, I imagine. The same is true at the school in wherever you live, your town. And why is it that so few American kids want to be doctors? Well, it's a lot of work, but so are a lot of things, okay? I think that we have created a medical school system that actively discriminates against American students, particularly against male American students, and I don't think that's a good thing. And it's an interesting sort of deal in terms of healthcare. In America, we have some of the most expensive healthcare in the world, but we don't have the best healthcare in the world. We don't have the best access to healthcare in the world. In fact, over the almost 40 years that I have been working in Reno, access to healthcare is significantly diminished in our region. And you know, that's not progress. That's not better. That's what we call worse. And so as we have gone forward in this past generation in our region, we have had ever diminishing access to healthcare, and we spent ever more. Our state, a big Medicaid money, and our poor counties, even more Medicaid money that the federal level was paying like crazy for Medicaid and such like that. And we throw more and more money at things and we get less and less. And you just want to look at the system and say where it's gone wrong. My Republicans haven't fixed it. Your man Obama didn't fix it. And for all their messing around with it, we're worse off than we were. I think everybody already knows that. And again, when you pay less and you get more, your arrows are pointing in the wrong direction. And that is the case with healthcare, I believe, even in our area. As a, oh, I hate saying this, as a man who's turning 72 on Wednesday, it's pretty horrifying to me. All right, when I we're going to take a break. When I come back, I'm sure it's going to be 80 degrees. I've been watching this like a hawk here, folks. We got your weather forecast coming up, and this is my last hour. Yeah, all right. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 11:16.
What? Oh, it's your birthday again. Yeah, so what am I supposed to do here? Am I supposed to sing happy birthday to you every time it's your birthday? All right, fine, this is it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy okay. birthday to you. All right?
All right, that.
God.
KKFD
sound. Can a cat just get some sleep around here?
All right. Okay. The sound library of this radio station is something to be admired. Thank you for the birthday thing. Much appreciated. Okay, we're going to take a break. FM News Talk time, 11:17.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. FM News Talk time. It's 11:21. Glad you're here. I apologize. You know, sometimes I recognize that these broadcasts become far too much about me, and there is no benefit or point in that. Every broadcast ultimately is about you, and I hope there's information or encouragement or something like that that may be useful to you. And if nothing else, I hope there's a bit of companionship. I think that's the real magic of radio, companionship. And I hope to be, hanging out here for, I hope you can hang out with me for a few more minutes on the radio. It makes the day just a little bit better. I hope it makes it a little better for you. But all of that said, I don't want to talk about me. Quite obviously, and what I want to do right now is talk about us, you know, where we live. And don't let this get out, but I am, and I don't know, what do I call this, pride or what, but I love the city of Reno. I am intensely proud of the service people, the like Reno Police Department. They've been bashed a little bit unfairly lately. Our firefighters, everybody who works hard to keep this city going. My gosh, even some of the politicians. I got out of college in 1976, so that's what, 50 years ago. And for most of that, I have covered the city of Reno on the radio in the 1970s, then on the radio in 2000, and then on TV, 20 years at Channel 2, and for the last several years, back here on the radio, here. And, you know, over those years, I've seen good-hearted people work hard to protect and fix up and help the city where I work. And it has in countless ways. And in innumerable times, our public employees have performed noble and inspiring service on the streets and in the homes of this community, which I have long since come to intensely love. I love our whole region. I am the son of upstate New York in my heart and in my culture. Now I'm a Westerner since 1976, and I love this part, you know, of our country. And I've been here long enough and covered enough and seen enough that I'm like passionately in love with every part of this place. And I do not exclude the city of Reno. Personally, my love for the city of Reno is one of the great joys of my life for most of my adult life. So to me, that's all a big deal. I just so admire it. We toiled with the monster backyard all last month at home, And into this month and this morning, I went out and I looked at our place today. Impressive, nice, beautiful, blessed. Anyway, the takeaway here is that things are going really well for us at home, and don't let the word get out, but I'm a big freaking fan of Reno. I wasn't always this way. There was a point not too long ago, I couldn't wait to get out. Unlucky, especially at jobs, and I was ready to move back to my grandfather's birthplace in New Hampshire. But a few things happened. Some things and books to turn me around. And today I am overjoyed that I have chosen the city of Reno and that it seems to have chosen me. And I hope you have that same feeling that the city has chosen you or wherever you live, whatever town. And as you can hear by this segment, I have no show prep. That's totally or topicality prepared at all. I got a nice emailer. I don't know if it was really nice. It was interesting. Last Saturday, I did the rant. Well, I do plenty of rants, but this was about the July 4th, the 250th anniversary of the USA, and how I'm not, feeling it. I don't see it on the network news. Or I just saw on CNN, they are treating the 250th anniversary of being founded as a country, they're treating it like a party, like it's a New Year's Eve broadcast, and like a party with Anderson Cooper and that goofball that he does the New Year's Eve with. They're going to have like a silly party, and that misses the whole point of what the 250th celebration should be about. Yeah, we have the 250th anniversary of the founding of our country, and in D.C. and in our big cities, it's a big nothing burger. There's a 4th of July parade in Reno. There's a celebration in Fernley that we are taking this show there on that Saturday, and I hope you come out and see us. We're going to make it as big as we possibly can to celebrate our 250th. The show is going to Fernley on July 4th. Make your plans to join us. And there's also a fireworks celebration on the 4th in Smith Valley at Dressler Park. And it's all very nice. And I appreciate it. And I applaud the town boards and the trustees and the mayors. Thank you. But other than that, what is there? We're here at June 13th now, and we've had 5+ months of this semi-quincentennial year, and there's not been a thing nationally. I was alive in 1976 at the bicentennial 50 years ago, and you can't begin to grasp how it was in everything. All the businesses were decorated. They had ads. They had big sales. They had promotions and whatever it was. And all the cans of beers had stars and stripes on them. You couldn't go into a store without somebody selling flag T-shirts. We haven't gone to Old Navy to buy our flag T-shirt yet this year. I imagine they're probably going to do something. But beyond that, it has been nothing. And to be honest with you, I thought with the election of President Trump that there would be more. And I know he's got this. They're supposed to be like this national state fair in D.C., but I don't know what's going to become of that, and I don't know if it's going to be any big deal. Anyway, probably PBS will have a special out of Washington, D.C. that night, showing the fireworks and some performers moderated by or hosted by someone who was maybe prominent in the 1980s or 90s, but it's just an interesting deal that we are taking a pass on that, and we're treating it lightly, a milestone anniversary of our nation's founding and how blessed we are, what the responsibilities of this nation are as a beacon of liberty to the world. Okay.
And we know where you're going to be
phone calls. Let's go to the phone, 884-9910. Let's go to Bob calling in from Sparks. Hey, Bob, I'm glad you called. Good morning, sir.
Now, I'm interested in your comments, but what else would you expect from CNN? Come on, okay? But anyway, happy birthday. What I wanted to call you about was this issue with not having Nevada doctors stay here. Do they have some sort of a program that they'll pay a certain amount or maybe all of their tuition to go to medical school? And in order to do that, you have to sign a deal that you'll stay here and practice for 5 years or 6 years or whatever. I suspect a lot of those doctors, once they practice here and get used to it, so forth, would voluntarily stay. You know what I mean? So they should have a big incentive, like monetary.
Love
okay?
it. Yeah.
So what do you think?
Well, I think every state is thinking the same thing. Like I said, my wife is getting offers like you wouldn't believe, and they're going to pay, they're going to give her a car, they're going to pay the rent, a rental house, and just be a doctor in Florida or Texas or wherever. So it's just the general state nationwide of the direction it's going to, where there's a couple of factors. They don't want to be like general doctors. They do specialties. And what happened to the family doctor, you know? Bob, I got to run. Thank you so much for calling. We got to take another call. This is Kurt calling in. Hey, Kurt, you got some interesting topics for us, my friend?
I do, John. When you were talking about the gas tax, I believe there is a sunset on that. It's not an ongoing forever tax. Part of it is because it's tied to a bond issue, and they typically have expiration.
Mm-hmm. I believe you. Yes. Again, though, voters, everybody I talked to about that gas tax had no idea that this was going to increase every chance the county or the RTC wanted it. So, and I remember that election. Did you vote for it, by the way, 15 years ago?
I did vote for it. Yeah. What I did not know was that how they tied it to the government statistic to get it to raise each year. That is the part that they hid and did their political shenanigans with.
Yep. I agree. And you want to say something about electric buses, Kurt?
I just had a question. Does RTC have the infrastructure already in place to be able to charge the buses? And I think Craig mentioned something that they do.
Yeah, they do. I've seen the our station is right by their RTC terminal here, or maintenance terminal, and I have seen that. They do have chargers for the buses.
Yeah,
and
buses. Yeah, we've had electric buses in Reno for about 7 years now. The inner city buses, I was telling Kurt on the before we went on the air, was that the inner city bus makes three trips in the morning and three trips in the evening. That's electric, all the way from Reno down to Carson City. Carson City, while they're loading up, it's charging. They've got some really good chargers, and you'd just be amazed. And they do get a fairly decent charge around the city of Reno, too, with the electric ones.
All right.
And to answer to your question, your problem of almost getting hit by one, the Tesla has actually put a sound in their electric cars, so now you hear something. And I'm anticipating the bus situation will be the same. That, instead of being silent, ill.
I once had a Prius, and I would be driving through. I remember one time I had dinner in Tahoe, and I was driving the Prius through the parking lot. Well, people had no idea my Prius was behind them, and I kept waiting for them to get out of the way as they were walking, and they turn around and they would jump out of their socks.
Yeah.
I was always scaring people with it. Kurt, I got to go. And thank you, Craig, for giving that info. We got a break for news, though. Craig Duff with local news, Fox News, right now. I'm John Potter, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:33.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
All right, there it is, 80 degrees, current temperature in Reno. I'm John Potter, live and local. Let's go to the phone. Mike is calling from Sparks. Hey, Mike, I'm glad you called. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, John, how are you?
That's a good one.
That's good. Listen, we just my wife and I just finished a 4,771-mile trip cross-country. We went from here, Mount Rushmore, Keystone, South Dakota, down all the way over to Chicago, and then back down Route 66. And I was listening to your commentary, and I have to tell you, you may not see it on CNN or ABC, any of those, but every small town from Rock Springs, Wyoming on that we went through had flags. They had revitalized. Oh. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to get out and get back to the roots there and see that again, like we saw in the 70s and 60s. Oh, that's outstanding. What were your favorite places or stops?
Well, first of all, Mount Rushmore. You know, you go there and you go to Mount Rushmore, you go to Crazy Horse, and it just warms your heart. I mean, it just is great. And secondly, we had a good time in Texas, in Amarillo. And then when you get down to Winslow, Arizona, 9,500, well, they got 19,000 residents, but they count the prison in that. So, but you got there, they have redone one of Harvey House's hotels, completely redone, and the train station. And it was amazing, and it was just, the town was electric, so it was electric. It's hard to say your favorite when everybody's like that.
My trips across the country, usually for jobs, were the happiest moments of my life. You're driving to a new adventure, and you're driving through these places. One time I had some time to kill, so I spent 2 days in Cody, Wyoming, and I love all these, so many places, and such a great experience. We got to get out more, my friend,
We do, and we need to meet other people, and we need to remember there's a big world out there. Mm-hmm. We were in Springfield, Missouri. Oh. They had three tornadoes on the ground, and we're in this area with the other people at the hotel, and everybody's just sitting around saying, hey, you want a Coke? Here's some M&M. And we're talking, and they're from all over the country. Nobody's, it was great. Nobody's sitting there going, oh, Lord, why are we here? It's, oh, Lord, thank you for getting us here in this place where we're safe.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, take me with you next time, okay?
Yeah, I will. I have to talk my wife into that, though.
Oh, she'll love it. Yeah.
Have a great day. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Another call. Okay. It's 11:42, by the way. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday from 9 to noon on 99.1 to 92.3 FM Talk. Is that Paul, there it is. Paul calling from VC Highlands. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning, John. Hey, I got two things. One, I'm a little younger than you, graduated high school in 75, and our family took a first big vacation in a plane. First time in a plane for me. Anyway, back to Boston, my dad had family there. So in the summer of 75, Boston was actually gearing up for the bicentennial. They were cleaning up stuff. They were marking streets, putting the footprints on or the path of certain things. They were going all at it back in a year before the bicentennial. It was awesome.
Everybody was red, white, and blue. Yeah, like I said, the beer cans.
Yep.
American flag,
so
Pepsi.
This year. Yep. So this year you're going to be in Fernley. I'm going to be in Fallon.
What's Fallon doing?
I have a friend that's there.
Yeah.
Well, I have a friend that's there, and he talks about the parade, and then on their website they say the main street's closed down. They have a block party that runs until dusk, and then the fireworks. And I guess the fireworks are out at a reservoir or something, but from in town, he sent me video before from in town, and it's spectacular. And my wife doesn't get around well with the bad back things, so we rented a hotel. Got a room at a hotel near Main Street. We're going to walk over, watch the parade, get her back to the room. She can rest for a while. In the evening, we'll go out and take the lawn chairs. There's a school or a couple places in town where you can pop out a lawn chair and watch the fireworks from the middle of town. And they on the video, they look spectacular. So we're going to spend two nights in beautiful downtown Fallon for the 4th, just to do something here where we can be involved.
Yeah, okay. Pardon? So we got this parade in Reno. Smith Valley is having a celebration in Dressler Park. We're going to be at Fernley. A lot of things going on there for the 4th. And Fallon added to the list. Paul, thank you.
Yep. And it's so close together that you can get to and from everything without having to get in a car and drive very far if you get a room. I suppose you can do that in Reno, too. You can get a room somewhere and watch the parade and then go back to the room and go back out and watch the fireworks. But Fallon did such a nice show a couple years ago that I saw on somebody's video that
right.
Why not? It'll be nice. An hour away, and looking forward to it.
I once saw a great 4th of July celebration in Tonopah. I have quite a story, but I don't have enough time for it. Paul, thank you so much. And folks, if you can, come out to join our show in Fernley for the 250th on July 4th. But again, thank you to all the town councils and the mayors and the council people who got these celebrations together in your towns. Okay, thank you, sir. I'm going to take a break, our last break, last segment. Up next, I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:46.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk Time, 11:49. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday from 9 to noon. Appreciate your calls. You know, I don't, give out the number enough. To be honest, I'm not very good with phone calls. I'm just not. I'm pretty bad at that. I'm an amateur talk show host. I haven't done this before. So anyway, we get more texts than we get calls anyway. And so let's just run through what we've received. We had a text. I deleted it. Somebody excoriating me for calling wild or calling the horses wild and not feral because I mentioned the protest. I'll mention that protest a little bit later going on about some horse lovers upset about some fencing. And they are gathering at, I think it was Washoe Valley. So somebody is upset. I called them wild horses. Okay. All right. Gotcha. Here is, a text that says Hobby Lobby has a USA T-shirt with 1776 on it for $10.69. All right. We'll take what we can get on this rare celebrate. I mean, not enough memorabilia, I don't think, to celebrate our 250th. This one, I think this is from one of our loyal listeners here, and he or she writes, looks like this didn't send about an hour and a half ago. Wait, are you saying that with our state and Washoe County gas taxes combined, we have the highest gas taxes in the nation? Yes, I did say that. Well, when it goes up again on July 1st, yes, it will be the highest in the nation. Gas taxes. And the text continues, even over Californicornia?
I think it's supposed to be Californication.
Haven't heard that one before. I'm glad you pointed out that they could collect more revenue if they lowered the tax. Imagine the number of people that would drive from Kings Beach to Incline Village to get their fuel. They might even patronize a business while they're there. And Craig, this I guess is for you. As I said, I don't really give out the phone number, but somebody searched on Google to find out what the call-in number is, and he posted the snippet of what Google, the picture here, and it reads, to contact the Weekend Nevada Live and Local with John Potter Show, which airs on Northern Nevada's KKFT 99.1, of course 92.3, you can connect through the various methods. Studio phone line. The live call-in number for this station is, well, it's not ours. It's Google says it's, I shouldn't even read it, but I will, 324-9900. And this person said that number goes to the Black Cat Tattoo Parlor. Do we have any connection with the Black Cat Tattoo Parlor? Is that one of Jerry's businesses?
No.
I didn't think so.
All.
I didn't think so. I mean, he is an entrepreneur, but possibly, would he tell us? I don't know. So I appreciate that call. And Google, I'm surprised at you. I really am. Had a great, I recommend highly, if ever Keith Urban plays a concert, go to it. I had a blast last night at the Sparks Nugget, and it wired me all up. And I think it helped do the show. I was so wired up, you know. We get in these, you know, slumps, but something like that just wakes you up again. And this man, what an entertainer. He loves what he does on stage, and that makes for a winning concert. Played for an hour and 45 minutes. I was so psyched. And so the concert ended at 10 o'clock at Victorian Square, and I was so fired up. I said to Kathy, I said, let's go to that theater right there and watch Disclosure Day. It's playing in 10 minutes. And she wisely said no, but when we got home, we binged this Hulu show. It's called Squatters, Get the Bleep Out of My House, and it's all real people who have been squatted, I guess, and the police don't do anything. The police say it's a civil issue, and so we watched these, and then we vowed never, ever to leave our home. 9 o'clock, I griped about the campaign signs out there. Channel 4 story here says, quote, NDOT employees will remove signs erected in the right of way and usually take them to the nearest maintenance station. Yeah, when does that happen? Because we know that these campaign signs in state highway intersections and even county, many county roads and city streets are illegal. Yet, it's the same deal every 2 years, and they're not touched. Just a big question on that. Latest vote count, by the way, on the closest race is for Reno mayor. Eddie Lorton apparently lost by 394 votes this morning. Republican state treasurer also was close. Drew Johnson ahead of Jeff Carter. This is a statewide vote. Drew Johnson ahead by just 2,705 votes, and the Republican Secretary of State Jim Marchant ahead of Shirley Fulkins Roberts by 3,373 votes. They are accepting more mail-in ballots today. Hang in there. Hang in there, Eddie. It is the last day to accept mail-in ballots if they are postmarked by June 9th, Election Day. Washoe County says they have counted 99% of the mail ballots they got. The other 1% are going to get done this weekend, and there's about 1,100 mail ballots that need to be signature verified by 5 p.m. Monday to be counted. There's also 550 provisional ballots that will be counted next week, they say. The last day for counting mail ballots is next Tuesday. The turnout for Washoe County, give yourself a hand. Man, 30.4%, impressive. The primary, I thought, was pretty efficient. So I want to say kudos to the hardworking staff and the very kind volunteers I ran into at Safe Mart. Special election, there were glitches. They have to do a special election next month to determine who wins in a Fallon city council race after Churchill County election officials inadvertently left that contest off of 881 ballots. And something in Carson City, I got an earful about this. Our state capitol was the only region in Nevada to have no nonpartisan voters, or races, I should say, in the primary ballot, meaning about 15,000 voters, or about 40% of the city's electorate, were flat out ineligible to participate in the primary. And in Washoe County, that big, almost 40% group of nonpartisans had no voice in who our county DA should be, because the two candidates were Republican and there were no Democrat candidates, and the race was only in the Republican primary. And if you weren't in that party, no vote for you. That just doesn't, you know, and I support closed primaries, but that, I don't know. That doesn't sound right. Reno and Carson City, the state fairs are going on. Reno Livestock Event Center, Carson City Mills Park. Beware the war zone road construction on William Street to get to Mills Park is something else. So if you make it there, kudos. The one in Reno is bigger. It has the animals. The one in Carson has the vendors that sell this enormous brick of French fries that I am just fascinated by and somehow looks good. And by the way, it's free admission in Carson City. That's another plus. People pick on that fair, but I will tell you, I happen to know about the ladies who put that fair on years ago. And they put together a nonprofit to do it. It's not a money grab. They just felt that since the original one went broke, they thought Northern Nevada, especially the kids, deserve a state fair. And it's a lot of work to put it together. So I say kudos to them, especially with the free admission. And again, strange respect for that French fry brick thing, which, okay, I got to go. Craig, thank you so much for your help. Folks, if you called the Black Cat Tattoo Parlor, sorry, wrong number. I'll talk to you next Saturday. Bye-bye.